Today, we're going to take a little detour from our Sermon on the Mount, and I was praying this week, and I really felt like I needed to give a Mother's Day message. And so today, our title message is called A Mother's Advice, A Mother's Advice. And so let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 2. And if you need a Bible, you can raise your hand, and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. A Mother's Advice. This is Jesus' first miracle. And so let's read this. It's John chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. Okay, ready? Here we go. And on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited and his disciples to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter," and they took it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then that which is poor, you have kept the good wine until now." Amen. Father, we thank you, God, and we, Lord, come together and we honor, God, every mother, God, in this house. We're so grateful, Lord, that you mirror yourself through them, God, in their love, in their tenderness, in their care, God. And Lord, and we ask, God, for a real special blessing today upon our families, particularly, God, our mothers, Lord. And we just want to celebrate them, God. And Lord, we pray, God, that this message would speak life, Lord, into their very bones, God, in the midst of their fatigue, Lord, and running around after their kids, God. And Lord, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. excuse me. I'm also going to read from Isaiah 66, 12 and 13. So you can just follow along. I think it's up on the screen. It says, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you'll be nursed, you'll be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you'll be comforted in Jerusalem." Amen. There's a very well-known Jewish saying that says this. It says, "God could not be everywhere, so he made mothers." Now, reading that, that's actually not theologically correct, because God is everywhere. But you understand what the sages are trying to say here. A loving mother is really God's tenderest image in humanity. When I was a young Christian, and I went to this church called The Vineyard in Anaheim, Sunday night services. I went for years. And I was a single person back in those days, but I remember some of the most beautiful images that I ever received during worship was actually watching husbands and wives with their babies worshiping the Lord together. And particularly when I would see the mother just embrace the child. And it was a very typical picture, especially at the Vineyard, where one arm would embrace the child and the other arm be raised up to the Lord. And it made me so jealous. It made me so jealous to want to be married. It made me so jealous to want to have children. But more than that, it gave me this beautiful, beautiful picture of the tenderness of God. And I imagine that God is like that, that God wraps his arms around us, even though we're big, smelly adults, or much as just the guys are. But yet God's love is continued to embrace us. It's this image of the loving mother. There's another Spanish proverb says this. He says, "An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest." Right? An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. In other words, there's something about the mother's heart, there's something about moms that really bring this reflection of who God is in our lives. The greatest advice in all of the world is the advice here in John chapter 2. The greatest advice in all of the world is a mother's advice. Jesus' mom turns to the servants and says simply, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. This came way before Nike came out, right, with the Just Do It. This was the precursor to all the Nike commercials in this way. And I can remember in that same way, my mom years ago, and this is when I was totally wayward. I didn't have a path in my life that I was following. I wasn't a Christian. I was doing a lot of stupid things in my life during that time. And I remember one day is I was coming home, and at this time, my mom was actually in seminary, and she was studying for the ministry. And then they end up going to overseas. They spent 17 years in a country called Uzbekistan. But I remember during that time, and I remember particularly one day I was coming in, I was driving, opened up the garage, and our house was a little smaller, so my mom basically created the garage to be her office. And I would leave in the morning, and she'd be in the garage studying. She'd have a heater, you know, on the floor, and she would just read and study. I remember coming back home at night, and there she was in the same place, reading and studying. She just loved to study the Word of God so much. And I remember as I got out of the car and I was making my way into the house, and my mom turned to me, and this is simply all that she said. She turned to me and said, Sammy, that's what my family calls me. You're not allowed to call me that, but my family can call me that. Said, Sammy, you can do much better than this. And it wasn't the words, they're not spoken with disappointment. It was actually spoken with hope. And only moms can do that. Moms have this ability to rebuke us, but yet we don't feel like it's a rebuke. We feel like it's a hopeful thing. My mom was able to do that, and she spoke to me and said, Sammy, you can do a lot better than this. And something, I don't know what happened, something triggered something in me, and I started doing better than this, you know, as a result. And so there's nothing like a mother's advice. It's so simple. It says, whatever he says to you, do it. This is the greatest advice you could ever receive in your life. Brothers and sisters, whatever Jesus says to you, do it. Do it. I've been traveling a lot this last month or so. I was in L.A. For a wedding. I had to actually preach at two different churches, you know, on that Sunday. And then made my way back, then had to go to Korea to take care of some issues. Ended up preaching there twice as well. In Korea, came back and went straight to another wedding in Bali, and I have to leave again tomorrow to visit our church in New York. But in the midst of this, and I've been meeting with young pastors and some guys that I've mentored and cared for over the years, and others that I'm just meeting just through some divine connections. And it's amazing how many times I've had this same conversation throughout this time. And we were talking about ministry, and they were sharing kind of all of their troubles or their fatigue. And I just had to say, hey guys, listen, ministry is really simple. It's really simple. Number one, just pray. Just pray. Number two, hear God's voice. I had to go look at my notes, right? Even though I said this like 10 times this last week. Hear God's voice. And number three, just obey what he tells you to do. It's just so simple. Now, I didn't say it was easy, but it's simple. Pray. Be a person of prayer. Always go to the Lord. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul tells of the church in Philippi. It's such a simple thing. Don't be anxious for anything, but everything, pray. Give it to the Lord, and the Lord promises his peace to come upon us. Be a person of prayer. And then when you pray, inevitably, God will speak to you. And so when that happens and you hear God's voice, and then obviously the next step is simply to obey. Whatever he says to you, do it. The Christian life, I mean, I know I was talking to pastors and ministry and all this stuff. The Christian life, very similar. It's the same thing. Very much the same thing. Pray. Read the Word of God and pray the Scriptures. Let God speak to you through His Word. Hear God's voice. Come into an intimate relationship with God where you have a personal relationship with Him and so that you could hear His voice. That's our main way of communication. And then out of that place, you obey whatever He tells you to do. Whatever He tells you to do, just do it. And the amazing thing is, when you see this passage of Scripture, notice that these guys go to this wedding, and I've actually been to Cana of Galilee, and so I know this little area. It's a tiny, tiny little village city. And so they come to the wedding, and the disciples came, and back in these days, this was very common for everyone in the village to come out to this wedding. And so they come out to this wedding feast, and then the wine gives out, and then Jesus, the mother turns to Jesus, verse 3, and says, basically, the wine gave out. Kind of like, do something. Like, you're Jesus. You're the man. Do something in this place. And remember, Jesus turns, and I know it sounds really rude when we read it in English, but this is actually a very well-known Hebrew idiom. And so it's not, Jesus is not being rude to his mother, because we know that he was a good son. And Jesus turns and says, woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come. But notice the mom's response afterwards. So the mom says, Jesus, there's no more wine, alluding to take care of it somehow. And Jesus says, it's none of my business. My time has not yet come. But yet the next response by the mother, mom says and grabs a servant and says, hey, whatever he says to you, do. In other words, he's going to do something spectacular, so you listen to him. See, only a mom is able to see beyond what we can see. Only a mom would call out destiny in their children in that way. Only a mother can truly recognize greatness in their children. Even though Jesus seemed to be so disinterested in doing anything spectacular, Mary knew something about her son. He knew that her son was about to do something amazing. And they told the servants to be ready. I relate with this, even with my own kids. With my own kids, honestly, as a dad, and I'm not speaking for all dads, I'm speaking for myself, but this may relate to a lot of dads here, I tend to see what is there. I tend to see exactly, well, you got this grade. I tend to see that grade. I tend to see maybe sometimes the mistakes more often than not. But there's something so interesting. Lisa, on the other hand, tends to see beyond what I can see. And she tends to see something more related to our kids' future than even what I can see is possible. I'll give you an illustration. Last year, my daughter said something to me that was probably one of the most devastating things that my kids ever said to me in my life. And my daughter, she plays netball for her school. She goes to South Island School right now, and she plays netball. And I asked her, what time's her match, and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, Appa, can you not come to the game? I said, today? She goes, ever. Can you not come to my games anymore? I was so devastated. I was like, why? You know, so on and so forth. And so sad. But lightly so, because this is what typically would happen. She'd go out to her netball game, and they'd be playing. I'm still trying to get to understand this crazy sport. So these things are happening, and all I see is them dropping passes. All I see is wayward turnovers, and I'm kind of on the bleachers. I'm going crazy. Like, ah, what is going on, you know? I mean, I'm still cheering. And so don't get me wrong. I'm still cheering, but I'm doing more lamenting than cheering. And so if any athletes here, you can resonate. I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, I'm excited. Things are happening. Oh, don't. No, hey, no, you got to do it. I'm like coaching on the side. I don't even understand the sport. I'm still coaching on the sidelines throughout this time. And I realize it, but yet my wife, on the other hand, she's just cheering. It's like, it's not that serious. You know, to me, it's like life and death. And because I only tend to see what's there. And but my wife sees them having fun, and it's like a mother's heart is very, very different. Any dads, can I get an amen? You guys, anyone? Or maybe you're going to get in trouble by your wife if you say that, but, you know, you can resonate with me in this way. It's interesting. Jesus, you know, in this case, or I'm sorry, I should say Mary in this case, she sees something in her son that up until this time, no one has ever seen. The scriptures tell us actually that Jesus really didn't do any miracles leading up to this time. We see, in fact, the Bible tells us very clearly in verse 11, it says, this beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. And so Jesus, you know, didn't resurrect birds. You know, I know there's some parts of the Apocrypha quote that. The Bible is very clear. It says he didn't do any miracles until this place in Cana of Galilee. Verse 11 tells us very clearly here. And yet, but yet the mom knew something about her son, knew her son was destined for greatness. And when my mom, going back to the advice that my mom gave me in that garage, I could sense my mom having that same heart. She saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. In fact, no one saw anything in me up until that time. But there's something about a mother's heart. There's something about a mother's advice. There's something about moms in our life that's so, so precious. More than anything else, it is the mirror of God's tenderness in our life. Why don't you turn to your neighbor, particularly if they're a mom. Now, or I should say, particularly if they're a female. If they're not a mom, you just prophesy future moms, okay? They're future moms. And just say to all the ladies here, just say, hey, good looking, you're a reflection of the tenderness of God. Go ahead. Right? Mary recognized the greatness in her son. There's something so powerful in this. We all need what was happening here to Jesus in this place. We all need to be encouraged and to be cheered on. See, a lot of times in the scriptures, the feminine qualities of God are oftentimes very much overlooked. We spend so much time talking about the Father heart of God and the revelation of God as Father, which is very, very important. I mean, very important, because that's God's primary revelation to mankind, is as a Father. But when you look throughout the scriptures, you see so much of the motherhood of God. You see how God comes to us as a mother in the midst of tenderness in that regard. We all need this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we often forget. He says, and God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And there's something about that image of God. The image of God is both male and female. That's who we are wrought in his image. I remember sitting in seminary and my professor, Dr. Wagner, C. Peter Wagner, and he made this really grand statement. I don't know where it came from. It was kind of a tangent that he went on during one of his lectures. And he looked out to a crowd, about 300 students in this particular lecture. And he looked out to all these budding, aspiring pastors. And he said, he looked at us and he says, listen, if you have never been discipled by a woman, he says, you're missing out on half of God's image. And I was like, whoa. It was one of those moments like, your brain just gets, he's like, oh my goodness. And I sat there and I thought about, like, you know what? It's true. I've actually never been discipled by a female. I mean, my mom, obviously, but that's my mom. I can't really say I'm in that place. But for sure, I was just thinking, I was like, yeah, I've never. And I remember specifically that day praying, says, God, would you bring godly women into my life to disciple me? I don't want to miss out on half of God's image. I want the fullness of what God has in store, what God has in mind for me. And so I went this way. Give me a little a tangent for one moment. I forgot to announce this in the beginning because I just thought about discipling by female. In June 8th and 9th, we're having a parenting seminar. And this is in response to a lot of questions, a lot of queries, and a lot of advice that my wife and I have been doling out over the years. And we thought, man, it's time for us to come together and really learn. My friends, Pastors Eric and Sarah Lehman, are, in my humble opinion, the best parents I've ever encountered in my life. She has a master's in education, so she uses her degree quite a bit. They have four children, all from college all the way down to upper elementary school right now. And she's homeschooled all four of them out in Florida while they're pastoring a church together. And so, yeah, she is superwoman in that regard. But even more than that, and the way that they've raised their kids, I mean, I've known them since my college days and having spent time with them, even when they're out in North Carolina, you know, all over the world. And it's I've yet, in my humble opinion, I've yet to see more mature, well-behaved kids in my life. I always just want my kids to hang out with their kids, and so they could rub off some osmosis, you know, on my kids. But it's just amazing. And when we were praying about, you know, who should we invite, it was just they're the first ones, you know, on top of our list. And thankfully, their schedule worked enough that they can come and share with us. And just so biblically sound. And after every session, there's also going to be a Q&A. And so you can sit there and ask questions. It's just $150, and that's basically you just pay for the lunch on the Saturday. Three simple sessions. We try to make it as family friendly as possible. And I would really, really encourage you to sign up. And it may be a life changing moment for you as a parent, especially if you're frustrated or struggling in different aspects, which we all are. I mean, we have four kids. We struggle every day to figure out what to do with our kids. And so I think this is going to be a really life changing time. And so I want to encourage you, after the service, you can sign up in the back during that time. Okay? All right. Let me continue on here. So back to the Wagner quote, if you've never been discipled by female, you're missing out on half of God's image. Like I said, I prayed after that, and sure enough, you know what happened? God brought Juanita into my life. And so now this precious woman's 90, just turned 92 years old, be coming to our retreat in June again. And it's just amazing. She's been praying for me for over 20 years. You know, can you imagine what a gift that is? This lady has been praying for me every single day, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours a day, and now also lifting up our church. And, you know, it's crazy is every time I talk to her, she knows more about what's going on in your life than I do. And she's like, so how is so-and-so? I was like, oh, what do you mean? What's so-and-so? What's going on? And because you guys send her the emails. Don't worry, I don't probe her. You know, it's private information. It's fine. And so, you know, I don't have to know everything, but it's, I mean, it's pretty amazing how she's been such a blessing to our whole body in that way. And that was a result of prayer. And I've learned so much about God's heart and the tenderness of God through Juanita and through other women that God has brought into my life. The Jews, all throughout history for ages, they've related to God as a mother who nurses and nourishes the young. In fact, there's a word, it's one of the first revelations of God to the people of Israel in his name, and they called him El Shaddai. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good-looking El Shaddai. Let me read. This is Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. It says, now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, most English translators, they translate El Shaddai as God Almighty, which is true. That's what the way it should come. Probably because the translators of the Septuagint, if you ever hear that word Septuagint, all it means is it's the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Over periods of years when people, the Jews, kind of in some ways kind of lost their language, not completely, but became more familiar with other languages, particularly Greek, during this time, the rabbis got together and they thought, you know what, we should make a translation of the Old Testament in a modern language. And so they did that, so they gathered together, and that's what we call the Septuagint. So if you ever hear that phrase, that's just simply what it means. It's just the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And so the translators of the Septuagint thought that Shaddai came from the root word Shaddad, which it did, and it means to overpower. It also means to destroy. Now, the Latin Vulgate, which is a Latin translation of this, translated Shaddai as omnipotens, which we get in our English, we get the word omnipotent from the Latin word. And so it makes sense. God is so overpowering that it is considered almighty. We can understand this. But if you actually go look into the Jewish roots of this, you find a much deeper meaning behind this. According to the Jewish scribes and the Jewish sages, though, Shaddai is actually a contraction of the phrase that says, I said to the world, die, which means enough or sufficient. This is also used in the famous words of the Passover, the Haggadah, or the Dianu. It would basically means it would have been sufficient. This is Genesis chapter 49, verse 25, and it says, from the God of your father who helps you, and by the Almighty Shaddai, who blesses you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. Now, interesting, Jacob's blessing indicates that Shaddai might be related to the Hebrew word for breasts, which is Shaddam, in this way, indicating sufficiency and nourishment. And so you can imagine this idea, and if you ever, most guys wouldn't understand this, but a mother nursing a baby. When we had our first child and Elise came into the world, and we didn't know anything about anything. And so I spent a lot of time on the internet researching breast milk. And my goodness, it was amazing. I felt like I got a deeper revelation of God just from studying breast milk. I know that sounded really weird. It came out of my mouth. It was amazing in that the breast milk provides everything that a child needs. And from birth, the breast milk is really thick. It's got a lot of colostrum in there, and it has antibodies and fights all kinds of different things that happen in the baby's life. As the baby gets older, the breast milk begins to change. And even the antibodies in the breast milk changes. And it changes according to exactly what the baby needs at that time. I mean, it's fascinating. And you realize God had laid into the female body exactly what every baby needs at the exact right amount of time. That's who our God is. And so when the Jewish writers, the sages, begin to understand El Shaddai and understand this phrase of God Almighty, it brought a different aspect, a different revelation to them. And what it indicated, that from them it came from the root word, which actually meant from the breast, and it indicated sufficiency and nourishment. Shaddai, in Hebrew, it derives from the contraction of Sha, which is who, and Dai, which is enough. In other words, it's God who is enough. Isn't that awesome? It's the God who is enough. It indicates God's complete sufficiency to nurture this fledgling nation of Israel into its fruitfulness. If we can imagine, go back to that image of a mother's milk, in that same way, it provides the sufficiency, it's more than enough to take care of the nourishment and the needs to bring this baby into this place of maturity. This is this beautiful thing that's laid out for us in this way. The complete sufficiency to nurture a child as well as to nurture a fledgling nation into fruitfulness. Interesting to note that the first time God uses this name, El Shaddai, is when it refers to multiplying Abraham's offspring. This is when he calls him out from Abram, and then later on will turn into Abraham. And so, understood in this light, the name El Shaddai provides a picture of God's nurturing love for our lives. He sustains us and loves us like a mother loves a newborn child. The name El Shaddai is directly connected with the sanctity of the promise given to Abraham regarding the future growth of his family and ultimately the coming of the promised seed, which is the Messiah. God is almighty too, in that sense, as a babe is totally reliant on mom for nourishment and for life. It's really this beautiful, beautiful picture. God is our mother who nourishes us and who comforts us. God is the one who is tender and kind. In Matthew 23, now we see Jesus' words. In Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus looking out over his beloved, beloved city says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, yet you were unwilling." Jesus is simply using this Old Testament motif that was laid out throughout the Old Testament of the mother heart of God that embraces their children. See, this is why maybe so many of us, because we've not received that tenderness in our relationship with our mothers, as a result, there becomes incredible brokenness. Incredible brokenness. You know, one of the reasons why I really push this fam thing and wanting us as a church to really gather together? Actually, the story goes all the way back to 1992. In 1992, I spent my summer here. I was a basketball player, played basketball here, ended up doing some volleyball stuff as well with Sports Services International. During that time, I would go and I'd volunteer, or our team would volunteer at Mother's Choice. And I mean, it was 1992, it's a long time. And that summer, those lessons stick to me like anything. And I remember we were visiting, and the guys, our men's team, we went, and basically we had to do a lot of construction work and, you know, trash things. And I mean, it was fine. But all the girls, we had a women's basketball team with us as well. You know what they did? They went downstairs, and they just hung out with the babies, and they held them. That's all they did. They just held them. And the leaders at Mother's Choice, they told us this thing. And he says, well, there's actually another room, and it's I think it was the basement, and this room is only reserved for volunteers that come all the time, because these were the most traumatized babies. And so these babies were left in trash cans. These babies were found by police in police stations. I mean, these were like the really, really abandoned babies. And they come to Mother's Choice, and they're like frozen. They almost have like no emotions whatsoever. And so there's major attachment issues. So those really traumatized babies are in a separate ward, and only volunteers that come regularly are allowed to go there because they have attachment issues. And so because they weren't held and touched and nurtured, especially in those very, very early formative days and weeks and months after birth, they're kind of frozen. They're emotionally stunted as a result. And so it's amazing. We hear these testimonies, and they would take these babies and these incredible women that would come every single day. You know, I actually met one of them at a ball last year. It was really a blessing. I actually told her this whole story that I'm telling you. And they would just hold these babies, and these babies would come to life. And there's something about the need for touch and tenderness and skin to skin. And some of you moms, you know this, because as soon as you had the baby, they clean them up and put them straight in your arms for that skin to skin contact that was so necessary for their emotional well-being as well as their physical well-being in that way. And so, I mean, just that experience, and I went down to the room. I didn't touch any of the babies because I wasn't allowed, but just being down in the room and seeing those babies, it just marks you, you know what I mean? God sets the lonely, he sets the orphan in families, and it's so important for us to be a part of the solution to take care of, and I mean, that's why we continue to push this on as a church. In that way. And I know for some of you guys, you're in a different time frame. We are as well. We're just waiting for Andrew to get into school. And then hopefully we can embark on our journey as well as a family. And I hope that you can join along with us in that regard. But a lot of us that maybe are a little stunted emotionally, that maybe have some brokenness, you know, as it relates in some of these things, it could have been because we lacked that tenderness from our moms in some way. Maybe they were absentee, you know, or maybe they just weren't that tender. Sometimes that kind of stuff happens in that regard. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you in that way. Let the Holy Spirit minister into your brokenness. From our fathers, we many times receive approval. But from our mothers and how God designed it to work together, we receive love, warmth, and tenderness. It's this beautiful complementary thing that comes into being. I was reading, I don't know if you guys know N.T. Wright. He's a very famous Anglican theologian. I love reading his stuff. He's so profound. And N.T. Wright, he talked about the complementary nature of God. And we can see this track all the way from Genesis. Think about this. Think about how this works. God creates the universe, creates everything, and he says, let there be light. Now he separates light from darkness. He creates the heavens and the earth. He calls the land and the sea. I mean, all these different things, and they're totally complementary to each other. In other words, in and of itself, it's not complete, but with the other complementary creation that he sets forth, something beautiful happens. Day, night, land, sea. All these things that come about. And then the pinnacle of creation is what? Man and woman. It's amazing. This is the ultimate of creation. Two complementary things coming together. In of itself, a little bit incomplete. The fullness is established when the other part of creation comes together in this way. This is a separate comment. This is why same-sex union doesn't work. It's not complementary in the way that God created the universe in this regard. And so there's something about the role of the man and the woman that comes together to bring this fullness of the revelation of God in our lives in this way. Again, our fathers, and many times we receive the approval, but from our mothers, it's the tenderness, the warmth, and the affection. Now, many of us may not have felt this affection, which is so important, but I have good news for you, because the Father, actually, I should say even better, the Mother God, wants to wrap His arms, His wings, want to surround you and bring you to that place of tenderness. See, I recognize a lot of times when we talk about and we say things like, just do it. If you've been around me long enough, I'm sure I've said it to you 10, 15 times, you know, in the course of our pastorate in this regard. But the reality is many of us find it so difficult to obey Him because we have a difficult time trusting Him. This is where the tenderness of God comes in. When we understand the love that God has for us, we understand the tenderness of God and the way that God wants to wrap His arms around us and love us, that when we realize that God's plans for us are the best plans, that God will never violate His love for us in the way that He wants to raise us, that God, He has such supreme care over His lives, that He won't do anything that violates that love over our lives, then it becomes easy to trust Him. And when we trust Him, it becomes very easy to obey Him. But maybe because it's so difficult to obey, because we lack the trust, because we don't understand the love that God has for us. There's something about that, this mothering of God over us. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day all over the world, obviously let's appreciate our moms by listening to them, by loving them, by caring for them. But more than that, let's listen to the best advice a mom ever gave. Whatever he says to you, do it. Now, it may be difficult for us to do that in that place, and let's just start one step back, and let's just start by receiving God's love. Let's just start back by understanding how much tenderness and affection that God has for us. And then out of that place of affection, I think obedience will really, really flow. Today, let's receive His motherly affection so that we can do what He asks us to do. Amen? Why don't we close our eyes, invite the team to come back up. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Mary's advice, whatever He says to you, do it. If that's difficult for you, and it may be, I want to encourage you to take one step back and begin to just probe your heart why. Maybe some of us think that God is against us, so he's asking us to do something that's miserable. But we know that God is love. Maybe we're afraid. But yet we understand the scriptures that perfect love casts out fear. Maybe some of us in our lives, for whatever reason, we're not blaming our moms or anything, but maybe in some ways we've been deprived of that tenderness. Our moms were too busy at work. Or our moms were just going through their own stuff. They were incapable of caring for us the way that we should have been cared for. Now, we're not mad at them. But I want to tell you that God, our mother, is here today to release his affection over us. And as we sing this song together, I just want to open up the altars here today and just simply say this. If you want to receive the affection of God today, just come. You may have an incredible relationship with your mom, and so it has nothing to do with that. But just you're saying, I just want to feel the affection of God. I just want God's wings, his arms, just to surround me, to know that I'm loved. I'm a beloved child of God our Father and Mother. And we're just going to pray for you. I believe that there is such tenderness in this altar here today for you to just be touched by God our Mother in a very, very profound way. And so as Chris leads us in a song of worship, and you just want to, Lord, yeah, P. Sam, I would love to step into the affection of the Lord right now. I just want you to invite to come and do that. Go ahead, Chris.
The greatest love that anyone could ever know, that overcame the cross and grave to find my soul. Till I see you face to face, grace amazing takes me home. I trust in you. With all I am, I live to see your kingdom come. And in my heart, I pray you let your will be done. Till I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home. I trust in you. See you kingdom.
as we continue to sing this song, if these are your friends up here, your house church members, your spouses, I want to encourage you to come and just sit next to them. Be an agent of the tenderness of God over their life and just love them right now in this place.
Church, I just feel a really strong word that I want to pray over each one of us, that we would have a revelation of the Father that Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians. He said, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we'll be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And I feel the Father is saying, I am a Father of mercies. I am a God of comfort. And there are so many of you here today who don't know me this way. You don't know me as one who comforts you in your pain. You don't see me as one who feels and understands and knows what you're going through. The God who sees you, who hears you, who comes down to you. Just like he said in Exodus when he spoke to Moses at the burning bush, he said, "I've seen my children and their affliction. I hear their cries and I have come down to them." And so I just bless you today, church, with this word from the Father that he comforts you. He sits with you. He walks with you. He comes down to you in whatever pain, in whatever situation you're going through. And he I just feel like he's giving you permission to be like a child. We are children to him. We are his children. And just as children need their parents, they need to be held. They need to be comforted when they're crying, when they're in pain, when they're confused and they don't know what's going on. The Father is saying, like, "You're my children. It's okay to be like a child and run to me and say, 'Abba, I'm confused. Abba, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's before me. I don't know how to handle what's going on in my life. Will you hold me? Will you let me cry with you? Will you tell me it's okay?'" And this is who our Father is. And I just speak an opening of our eyes for each one of us today to be able to see the Father in this way as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
Can I invite us to stand to our feet? Let's sing this together. Everyone else, let's continue to pray. Let's pray together. God, we thank you, Lord. God, we're here, God, we're here not to blame our parents, God, our moms, our dads, Lord. We're beyond that, Lord. We're here, God, to receive healing, God. We're here, Lord, to step into the affection of God. Lord, how you want to wrap your arms all around us, God. How you want to bring us close into your heart, God. How you want us to release your tenderness, God, and your affection over us because you love us so much, Lord. God, just like moms in the way they care and they hold their babies close to their arms, God. Lord, that's how you want to relate to us. And so forgive us, God, for not allowing you to, Lord. God, we submit, God. And we say, Lord, we want to be just loved by you. We thank you that you are El Shaddai. You are the ever-sufficient one. That you are all that we need, God. You are all that we could ever ask for. I pray that on this Mother's Day, God, that you release a revelation into our hearts, Lord, of the mother heart of God. How you want to love us and care for us, Lord. And God, we want to be mindful of Mary's advice, God. Whatever he says to you, do it, Lord. But yet we find ourselves so unable to, Lord. And so just take us a step back and help us to experience your love, God. Obedience will follow eventually, Lord. So we thank you, God. We love you, Father. We bless you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes his face to shine upon you. And to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you're praying, you can continue to pray. The rest of us, I want you to hug somebody and say Happy Mother's Day. If you need some prayer for healing or anything, please come to the front and our well will minister to you. Enjoy your Mother's Day lunches and dinners. Well, let's celebrate God's faithfulness.